Ciao ragazzi, welcome back everyone to Tactics Imperium, the podcast where you go beyond just recaps and explore why matches unfold the way they do. I am your host, Gianluca Lia, and this episode, as always, is brought to you by Seria Spotlight, so I invite you to make sure to follow Seria Spotlight on all social media platforms. As always, make sure to keep following this podcast as well, Tactics Imperium, and obviously comments, likes and shares help this tactical journey to go on. Now, in this episode, I will dissect Juventus 3-0 win over Napoli, a result that didn't just change the standings, but I think it exposed something deeper about both teams. Firstly, I think Juventus looked really confident, composed and tactically prepared, and Napoli looked a bit fragile and also predictable. So, let's get into it. One of the most striking phrases to come out of this match is one used by Juventus coach Luciano Spalletti, always with his, you know, fantastic phrases with these philosophical quotes that he comes up with during press conferences, pre-match interviews, post-match interviews. In fact, I invite you to check out some of his media commitments, his pre-match press conferences or his post-match press conference, for those not familiar with Luciano Spalletti, because they are always insightful, and also the way that, you know, expresses himself, the way he sends his message across the media room, it's something fantastic. I believe he is, you know, a master of PR. So I invite you to make sure to check out some of his interviews, his press conferences. Also, those of Massimiliano Allegri. I think those two persons are really insightful during their press conferences. And also they come up with some interesting quotes at times. So I invite you to check both of them. So one of Spalletti's most striking phrases, I quote, "The match is like an empty box and you have to put things in it." And I think that's exactly what Juventus did in this match. They filled the space with ideas, with movement, with unpredictability. Things that Napoli struggled to prevent and to provide for themselves as well. Napoli came to this game with a 3-4-3 formation, and that had looked like a solution earlier in the season, especially with Neres and Noah Lang as supporting players behind Højlund. Now, as you know, Neres will be out for multiple months after going under the knife, and Noah Lang has went to Galatasaray in Turkey. Now, the 3-4-3 once gave the team structure and options, but lately it had become too mechanical and too reliant on athletic traits, maybe too predictable. And this predictability became Spalletti's starting point. Juventus chose to line up in a mirror 3-4-3, the same base shape Napoli brought to this match, but from minute one their approach was different, because they focused on individual control, trusting their center backs to handle Højlund and to also handle McTominay, Napoli's main offensive outlets. And crucially, Juventus chose not to attack Napoli's shape with randomness. They attacked it with structure, with raw clarity, and with pressure that forced Napoli to make mistakes. And I think that's why Spalletti's team looked like they knew what Napoli would do before Napoli did it. Speaking of, you know, Napoli becoming predictable with this formation. This was Juventus' side not just matching Napoli's formation, but anticipating and exploiting its weaknesses, which was also goes down to Spalletti's pre-match work together with his staff, together with his match analysts that he also had mentioned and acknowledged before the Benfica game. Early on last week, which means that Spalletti relies heavily on, you know, on analysis, on films, and on studying the opponents. Some things that are becoming more and more crucial inside football teams' dressing rooms. Early on, Juventus pressed high and managed to steal the ball deep in Napoli's half, and one example came around the 19th-20th minute, when Turan's shot hit the post after a turnover forced by pressing. And soon after, Locatelli won the ball on the edge of the box, and with a clever flick, he put Jonathan David into space. Then the Canadian controlled with his chest and finished past Meret. And that goal was more than a finish. It was a statement about how Juventus intended to play. Relentless pressure plus vertical forward intent. And also, obviously, it was Jonathan's David third goal in the last four Serie A matches, which for him means a lot, coming at the back of that, you know, dismal performance against Lecce, missing also that crucial penalty. And I think this was the first key moment Juventus put into the box. And then Juventus didn't just score once and sit back, they controlled the energy of the match, they controlled the flow of the game, the tempo. They shifted from aggressive pressing in the first half to a more compact and efficient shape after taking the lead, shrinking the playing area, but without losing the intensity. And I think this fluid tactical shift was crucial, because good teams press hard when they need to win the ball. But then, great teams manage both transitions, the defensive phase and the offensive phase, and winning the ball and then managing the game. It's not easy, but Juventus did it. And when the energy naturally dipped late in the game, they brought players like Kostic and Cabal on with a clear purpose, maintaining physical balance and keep destabilizing Napoli's defense. Now, let's look at Napoli, and not solely through blame, but also through reality. Napoli's 3-4-3 under Conte is increasingly mechanical, as I mentioned before, and overly reliant on Hojlund and McTominay. There's a sense that the system had become too narrow, often reducing Napoli's threats to a small set of predictable movements. And why does this matter? Because Juventus didn't just nullify Napoli's structure, they read it. And when Napoli's possession became about repetition and predictability, rather than variation and surprise, Juventus exploited four different situations: quick transitions, targeted pressing triggers, vertical play from midfield, and player rotations that pulled Napoli defense out of shape. Napoli's 53% possession at match end looks balanced on paper, but underneath it was a team that couldn't break lines or create unpredictability, which once again means that you cannot rely on statistics out of context in football, because football is an invading game. It's not possession based like basketball. So the 53% possession doesn't mean that Napoli had the lion's share of possession. You need to, you know, break down what those 53% possession include. And Napoli weren't really threatening despite having the majority of the possession share throughout this match. Also, a big tactical point in this match, I think Juventus won the critical duels, which were very important. Hojlund really got the ball in dangerous positions with impact, and McTominay's influence dwindled. Meanwhile, Juventus, McKennie's, Thuram and Locatelli won repeated individual battles that destabilized Napoli's structure. And once again, shout out to Manuel Locatelli, who he might not be, you know, an fan favorite. But I think in these last few games, especially against Benfica and against Napoli, I think he put on majestic displays, especially defensively. He was key in interceptions, anticipations, but he was also efficient in the final third as well. And I think those battles helped Juventus, you know, dominate territory at the Allianz Stadium. Because that matters, the duel matters, because football isn't just systems, it's a sum of moments where then individual success or failure shifts momentum. And when Juventus dominated those moments in midfield, in transition, and then aggressive boundary play, they were effectively filling the box with actions that mattered. Napoli, by contrast, struggled to create equivalent movements. Their possession looked neat until Juventus turned into turnover opportunities. So let me ask you, was this defeat a system failure for Napoli or a sign of deeper squad limitations? And also, can Antonio Conte adapt beyond the predictable patterns that Juventus exploited? Think about how we often talk about structure versus space, but this match reminded us that unpredictability is a tactical currency. And, you know, speaking of Antonio Conte, I think one of his flaws in his coaching philosophy has always been his predictability in the way that teams then become more and more mechanical and more laborious, and eventually he relies more on systematic movements rather than fluidity, especially in the final third. So before I finish, here's some key takeaways from this match. First of all, a tactical plan only works if it contains both structure and variation. Juventus didn't just match Napoli's structure, but they expanded it with unpredictable actions that turned possession into danger. Napoli's system had merits, but when it became too mechanical and too predictable, Juventus found the gaps and filled the box with exactly what was needed to win. And that's the beauty of tactics in football, because the winner isn't always the one with the most possession, the most creativity, or even the best individuals, but it's the side that turns intention into unpredictable action. Thank you guys for listening to Tactics Imperium. Make sure to follow Serie A Spotlight on our platform. Keep the conversation about culture going. And until then, alla prossima guys.